Well, it's, again, it's, excuse me, it's an honor to be with y'all and just enjoy this weekend. Man alive, I'm ready to go. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to go. Send me, Lord, right? I'm telling you, that choir, the way they sang that song, it just reminded me of the call that we all have on our hearts, right? If we truly love the Lord, if we're truly His disciples, there's a calling on our hearts. We don't get to escape any of that because it just happens when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And again, as I listened last night to all the different ministries that this church is involved in, and not so much saying the church, but all y'all, everyone is involved in something, I'm sure of it, because we all have these opportunities. It's not always that we get to or that we're called to go somewhere else. I mean, way away, like in another country. But what a blessing to be called to speak to our neighbor. What a blessing it is when God gives us a divine appointment and says, to speak to that person in line. I've been working on his heart. And I'm ready for you to share something about my love for him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about divine appointments. Now, I've had some appointments in my life. Some I really didn't want to... I know there's maybe a dentist in this congregation, but I just have to confess that it's not my favorite place to be. It wasn't that the dentist wasn't kind, that the dentist didn't smile, that the dentist didn't have a very kind manner. But once that drill started, boy, let me tell you, I was ready to get out of there. But another appointment that I had that I truly think was divine was when God introduced me to my lovely wife. Not yet my wife. And it was a blind date, Valentine's Day banquet at the church. I was going to the Nazarene Church. She was going to EMC Church in Duncanville, Texas. That's a suburb of Dallas. And you could just about throw a stone from one to the other and hit it. There was an empty lot in between, and this couple said, they came from that EMC church onto the Nazarene church on staff, and they met me and already knew her. And so here we are having this Valentine's Day banquet, you know, and I'm going to sing a few songs, love songs, you know. And they thought, well, this is going to happen. And so they invited her to come. Now, she agreed to come, but only if she could drive her own car. Because, see, she just figured if I'm not what I'm really not cut out to be for her, she could kind of escape, you know. And, I have to tell you, though, I didn't know her, so, and I knew she didn't know me. So I thought that, hey, that's a smart girl. You know, I wish I could have had that opportunity a few times in my life, be able to escape at that moment. But no, that didn't happen. So she came, we met, and the rest is history. God put us together in such a special way and then called us into the ministry. And that was truly a divine appointment for her to be a part of my life. And there's a lot more divine appointments, too, that we all have had if we think about it. Let me read to you. We're going to talk about Philip today. He was one of the apostles, as you know, and he was just full of the Holy Spirit. He couldn't be quiet to save his life. He talked about Christ and the love of God wherever he went. He found himself in Samaria, which was a very hard place to minister, apparently. And it reminded me of Guanajuato, where we have ministered most of our ministry life, very resistant to the gospel, but God blessed it. God gave him that divine appointment, and there he was. But then, all of a sudden, God had other plans. Did you ever have that happen in your life, that you think you're doing exactly what God wants, and you are, perhaps, but then God has other plans? All of a sudden, he's changing your direction. It doesn't mean it may be forever, but it is for the moment. I'm going to start reading here in Acts chapter 8. It's Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopians. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside the carriage." So Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down in the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Let's just stop there. Lord, thank you so much for your word, your living word, Father, that makes a difference in our lives. You not only speak to our hearts directly, but you speak through your living word. Lord, we just ask you right now that you would speak to our hearts through this word and through this message, that we might understand what you have for us this day and take it and use it for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, according to the All's House Dictionary, divine appointment would be an encounter that is orchestrated by God. An encounter that is orchestrated by God. You see, Philip was in this great ministry, if you read earlier in chapter 8, in Samaria, healing and all this stuff is going on. That is just fantastic. In fact, so much was going on that it caught the attention of the apostles in Jerusalem. And so they sent Peter and John up there to say, "Hey, what's going on up here? We need to check this out and verify all this good stuff." And they did. But then in the middle of all that, the angel spoke to Philip. And he heard the angel. And he obeyed. He obeyed and he heeded the call. And many times we hear a calling on our heart, perhaps a prompting. And we might say, "Well, but Lord, we're all in the middle of doing this great stuff. This is surely what you want us to do. And why would you want us to go somewhere else and do something different? Because look at what's happening. Look at the fruit that's coming from this great ministry that we have or this thing that we're involved in. But Philip didn't act like that. Philip heard the voice of God through the angel, the Spirit of the Lord, and he obeyed. And many times, it's the obeying part that we're missing. We're hearing it, but kind of ignoring it. Kind of like, well, yeah, that's a good idea, but maybe we should, I can wait, and let me finish this. Many times God talks to us about things, and they have an urgency. Did you ever think about that? God's timing sometimes is not our timing at all. I remember when I was, we didn't have a car at this time in Mexico. I had a bicycle, had a nice seat on the back for our little 2-year-old daughter, and we'd go down the road on our bikes. And I was preaching at different preaching points during that time, and I was asked to go somewhere I had not been. And it was over on one side of the mountain, and they gave me directions, and I went across the river and over into that area. And he said, you'll know where to go. You'll know where to stop when you see the soccer field, and there's a car, a wrecked car at the end. And that's where we meet. So be there by 5 o'clock, and then you'll see the people, and you'll have time to share with them. So I got there, and you know, I'm an American, so I got there on time, and so when I got there, 5 o'clock, I'm ready to go. I didn't have my guitar in those days, but I had a little recorder, so I was gonna use that to do some songs, and we were going to have church, but no one was there. I was by myself. I was alone. And that's kind of what happened here with Philip. You know, he heard the voice of God, and he obeyed. So he went down this road to a desert place, a place where no one was. And so there he was, and there I was. I wasn't in the desert, I have to tell you that, but I felt like it was. And I saw people all around doing their thing. You know, I learned something that day, that it's very easy to hang clothes after they're washed on barbed wire because they stick and they don't come off. And then that was something I told my wife about, but she ignored that. I don't know why. But anyway, there I was. And you know, it's funny. When God calls you to do something, there's the enemy right next to you, right at that moment. And that was what happened to me. I was there, and the enemy came alongside me and said, you know, Bill, you did what you were asked to do. You came, here you are, you were on time, but there's no one here, no one's coming, you don't need to do any more, you just need to go home. You can tell them that I went and no one showed up, and that's good, that's all you have to do. In fact, really, I don't see you doing much of anything here in Mexico. I don't think you're going to be effective at all, so now that you've come to Mexico, you could go home and just go home and go back to your old life and not worry about this. And about that time, the Lord said to me, why don't you sing, Bill? Why don't you sing? So I did. I started praising God. I started lifting my hands. I started feeling the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And as I sang, here came the people. They heard God being praised, and they came out from their little houses and their chairs and their buckets and anything that they were going to sit on, and we had church that day. And God was praised, and people were blessed.
And the Holy Spirit moved and people found Christ that day because of a little servant obedient to what God had told him to do. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with what God wanted that day. And that's what's happening here with Philip. You see, there he is on the desert road towards Gaza, and there's nothing there. There's no pilot. There's no Love's gas stations. There's nothing. There's no clean bathrooms to worry about. And the angel, all of a sudden, we don't even know how long he was there before the eunuch and his entourage came by, do we? But they came by, and this is a man of authority. You know, the eunuch wasn't just anyone. He was the treasurer for the queen of the Ethiopians. And so he had a number of people with him. He wasn't just all by himself. And so there's the angel, and there's Philip. And the angel's saying to Philip, go after him. Go up and talk to him. Well, there he went. It says right here in the scripture that he didn't just walk along, but he ran to him first and didn't hesitate. And you know, that's the other thing that I've had to learn, and the Holy Spirit's taught me over and over again, to be honest, that I need to, when the Holy Spirit asks me to do something, I need to act right away, don't I? We need to act immediately because God has a plan for us, and we need to complete it right then. I also think that God, if we act immediately, God is going to give us the courage to make a difference in that moment, isn't he? And that's what happened with Philip, because Philip didn't hesitate. All of a sudden, here's this entourage coming by, and who knows how many people before him and how many people after him, and chariots on both sides, and probably guards as well, because he's a valuable man. And he's coming out of Jerusalem down this desert road towards Ethiopia to return. And you know, that's a long ways. They say that to get back to his homeland, it would take between 3 and 6 months to travel that road. Now, we don't know where they were on that trip, but we do know Philip was there. And so as he came along, and Philip went up to him and asked the question. He heard him reading something and that sounded familiar, and he asked, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand it? You see, when we act immediately, things happen. There's a lady in our church, Josefina. She found Christ in a very powerful way, and she was very brave, like Philip. It didn't matter to her who she talked to, but she had to talk to everyone about the love of Jesus. And she would bring somebody to church new every Sunday, and just about. And I would go to her and I said, Josefina, this is amazing that you're bringing all these people to church, and new people, your neighbors, all everyone that you seem to meet. And she turned to me and she said, well, I have this treasure inside of me, and I can't keep it inside. That's okay, isn't it? It's okay if I talk about it, isn't it? She was a new Christian. She was honestly just wasn't sure. Maybe she was doing something wrong. But I said, no, of course it's okay. In fact, continue to share the love of Christ everywhere you go. And she said, well, there is one young man in my neighborhood. His name is Juan, and he won't come with me to church. You see, he's heard that if he goes into the sanctuary of this evangelical church, that bad things will befall him, and that there will be, bad luck the rest of his life. And so he's afraid. And so pray with me that God will give me the understanding of what I need to do to get Juan to come to church. Well, we were going to be leaving to come back to the States for this furlough time, this time that we get to visit our supporters and be in the churches and so forth. And basically, she got the idea that she was going to invite him to the despedida, Well, that's a going away party in Mexico. And basically, she thought, well, I'll go and invite him to the despedida because it's not going to be in the sanctuary and all this good stuff. So she had this great idea. And so she did, and Juan came reluctantly, but he came. And so she came over to me and she said, Juan is here, and I want you to come talk to him. So I did. I went over to him. He was very nervous. And we started to talk and visit together, and I could tell that the peace of God was coming over him, and he was relaxing. And as we talked further about the need that he had for a Savior and how Christ could change his life and the love of God could cleanse him and be a new creation, he accepted and found Christ that day. And because of Josefina and her willingness to act right when God had asked her to, a new person was in the kingdom. And you see, here's Philip now. He's listening to the eunuch, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I unless somebody, you know, interprets for me? And so he invited him to come up and be a part of what was going on and sit there with the eunuch. And so many times, you know, there are opportunities for us. But I have to tell you, if we're not prepared to share the love of Christ with another, if we've not been in the Word, if we've not been in discipleship, if we've not been being challenged by the Word and being challenged by the Lord to grow in grace and grow in the love of Christ, how can we be ready when God asks us to do that? And so I'm excited for this church and the way that I see the challenges that you guys put on each other in terms of the women's group and the men's group and all these discipleship opportunities that you'll be prepared to share when God touches your heart to go next door or go talk to the person in front of you or whatever it might be, that opportunity that God gives you to ask that same question. How are you doing? Do you understand that God loves you? Do you understand that there's a better way that you could find today in your life? And so here's Philip, and he's interpreting what Isaiah had said. And you see, this is another proof that this man has a lot of clout. This eunuch was just not any person from Ethiopia, because he was reading a scroll of Isaiah. Now, not everybody, we're thankful for our Bibles. We're thankful that we can distribute Bibles everywhere in the world. But to have a scroll of Isaiah in your own possession was something unheard of unless you had influence. And so here he is talking about Jesus. And the thing that I want to share with you and mention to you today, especially that Philip is doing, is he's not only ready to share, but he started sharing at the point where the eunuch was. Sometimes in our lives too, and we're excited about our walk with the Lord, we're excited about what he's doing in our lives and stuff. But I know something that I have had to learn, because I can tend to talk over someone, and that's not a good thing. And I apologize for that many times. But I've learned to listen. I've learned to listen to the needs of others. And that's what Philip was doing. He was listening to the eunuch. And as he listened to the eunuch, he realized what the Holy Spirit guided him to do, and that was start where the eunuch was. Many times we can be so effective when we understand where that other person is coming from, where that other person, how are they hurting? How are they feeling inside of them? And what is this, the real situation? And so that's what he was doing. And so it's exciting to see how that made a difference in his life as well, because Philip was not only ready to share, but he also started right where the eunuch was in his life and brought him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as well. I want to share a little bit about another lady that was very special. She went to our Bible Institute, and but she wasn't going to be a pastor. She taught public health in the school system as well. And so as she was able to teach biblical principles and family values and those kind of things. But at one point, she had the pastor coming to share in one of the meetings, and the pastor called and said he couldn't make it. But Liliana was ready to share, just like Philip, and prepared to share. And as Lydia mentioned, I think in Sunday school, many times when there's an event for children, you find that the parents are there too. I know we found that out early on when we had a birthday for my little daughter and Ariel, and Lydia had planned everything for that moment, and the kids started coming, but then we noticed that the parents never left. And you know, here in the U.S., many times it's a drop-off thing, and you go on to do other things, catch up on whatever it might be. But in this case, it didn't happen. So we had invited 20 kids. 20 kids showed up, and then 40 adults were there. Anyway, Lydia said, I don't know what we're going to do. We didn't get food. We don't have food for all these people. So I went out, and we picked up some more stuff, and we had everybody there. So, well, when Liliana was speaking in her classroom, all of a sudden she realized that all these parents were there too, in the back. And as she shared the gospel, as she shared what her testimony, as well as what she was teaching about biblical values and family values and moral values, these people all heard the gospel for the very first time. Because she was prepared to share, God gave her the courage to do so and make a difference in their lives. Well, there's the eunuch. He's finding Christ. And Philip is leading him into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the eunuch finds water and he's baptized. And he comes out of there and he's excited. But all of a sudden, where's Philip? Philip is gone. He's moved on, if you will. The angel has taken him to another place and found himself on the way to Caesarea, praising God, continuing to share the good news, never stopping. And the eunuch is on his way, rejoicing in his newfound life in Jesus Christ. But what difference does one person make? I mean, what really... Why would God go to so much trouble to reach one man? Well, as it turns out, he became the first missionary to Africa and shared the good news in his country of Ethiopia. And even today, we have, as they call it, Coptic Christians. That's the name they give it. Don't ask me why. I'm not sure. But we have Christian churches that date back to that time when he came and shared the good news with his people. What difference does one man make? What difference does one of us make? What difference could we make if we listen to the Lord, if we allow him to work in our heart and mind and listen to that small voice when he says, talk to that person or go to this place. Even if it seems like a desert to you, God will give you the vision and the opportunity to make a difference in several people's lives over time, over your lifetime. You know, I've read somewhere that if all of us, I mean, every Christian in the world, and there's quite a few of us, but every Christian in the world would reach one person for Christ, just one, in 13 years, the whole world would become saved and praising God. It would be a new world. Just think of that. Each one of us reaching one person would make that much difference. We were starting our second church, and we were renting a warehouse. Just making sure, I don't know what time it is, but making sure that I'm kind of hanging in there. We were renting a warehouse. It was in Irapuato. It was the second church that we started to plant. It was in a military zone. We had the Mexican military there, a big base. And these families had infantrymen, so they'd be gone for 2 weeks. They'd be back for 2 weeks. And there was a lot of physical violence in the home. There were a lot of drinking and drugs and other things. It was a very, very rough neighborhood. But God had led us to that neighborhood, and we were renting a warehouse. And it wasn't unusual that there were some drunks that would come on the weekends. Some would come into our church because we left the doors wide open. And one of them was Antonio. And Antonio, well, he learned one of our courses, you see. And so it was called Alabare. And so when Antonio would come in to the service, he wouldn't be respectful, or he wasn't worried about whatever we were doing. He would announce himself by saying, Alabare, like this. And we knew Antonio was with us once again. And so it was pretty common that he would come in and then he would leave, and we wouldn't really know where he went from there. And we never noticed until this day. As we poured out of that warehouse and people were going home, and we had to take kids and families home in our van that we had in those days, there I saw Antonio in the street. And he looked confused and disoriented. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, take care of this man. Well, I didn't know what I was supposed to really could do, but I knew I had to do something. So I went over to him, and I put my arm around him, and I put his arm over mine, and we headed down the street. And as we went up and down the street, I asked people, do you know this man? No one seemed to know him all of a sudden, or where he lived. And so as we continued up and down the street, I started to pray in my heart. I said, Lord, where do I have to take this man? And how far do I have to go with this man? And the Lord answered me and said, how far have I taken you? And how far have I gone with you? Well, I knew the answer to that, and I knew I had to do whatever it took to find Antonio's home for him. And so finally, someone came up to us, and they greeted Antonio. I knew he knew where he lived. And so I asked him, and he showed me, and we went around the streets and finally found this humble home. And I knocked on the door, and his mom opened the door, and her eyes got so big because there was Antonio. And she hugged him and looked over her shoulder at me, and she said, gracias, hermano. And you see, that means thank you, brother. And we, as Christians in Latin America, talk to each other in terms of brother and sister, hermano, hermana. And I thought, well, how did she know that I was a Christian? And so she invited me in, and Antonio went off to bed, and she sat back down at the open fire where she was making tortillas by hand. And she told me the story. She said, thank you, brother. Gracias, hermano, for bringing my Antonio home to me. You see, I had been praying for 2 days because my Antonio had not come home. And you, hermano, are the answer to my prayer. When I look around and I look at all your faces, I see answers to prayer. I see divine appointments that are going to happen in the future as you listen to the Lord, as you obey Him, as you're prepared to share. And He gives you that courage because of your faith to share and make a difference in people's lives. It's just an exciting time, isn't it? Where we can truly make a difference in people's lives because you're the answers to the prayers that they're crying out to God right now. Would you send someone? Would you send someone that would help me get home to you, Lord? That would you help me in this point of crisis to where I can see my way clear, find my way to get out of this situation? We are those answers. And I praise God for each one of you. As we finish up our missions conference today, let us just remember this. This is just the beginning, isn't it? It's not the end. It's just the beginning of seeing lives changed around us here in Elizabeth City and everywhere around the world where this church is touching. Because each one of you are answering the call of God on your life and making a difference because He asked you and you're willing. Are we willing? Are we willing when we hear Him to obey? Of course we are. Because we know that something amazing is going to happen. It's not about us, but it's about the Holy Spirit in us, working through us to touch lives as He gives us the courage to touch others. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, this amazing time that we could be together this weekend. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's here. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts and minds, not only about our faith promise financially, but also what else is it that you want us to do? What else is it that you would have us to do and be a part of, Lord? Is there a divine appointment in my life that you want me to make? Speak to me in my heart about those precious people that you put in my path. How can I make a difference in their lives? Lord Jesus, we just give it all to you, because as each one of us reaches one, we will see your kingdom grow exponentially, Lord, and your peace will fall on this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.